With your latest news, I'm Elizabeth Charles. First, some breaking news. Police have issued a warning about a missing pit bull that is currently loose. The dog has tan fur, a black collar with the name Renee, in addition to a phone number, and a red leash. It was last seen around 5:30 p.m. on Mount Pleasant Road between Vibe Lane and West Church Street. Persons are advised to call 911 if they see the dog. Well, I certainly hope that dog gets found safely soon. Now to your regularly scheduled news programming. A major leadership change is coming at the top of the Cayman Islands Civil Service.
I want to congratulate Ms. Gloria McPhee-Livingston.
One of the many supporters who sent their congrats over radio programs and social media of the new soon-to-be deputy governor. Her Excellency the Governor, Ms. Jane Owen, has appointed Ms. Gloria McPhee-Livingston, a long-standing chief officer with nearly 30 years of public sector experience, as deputy governor and head of the civil service designate. She takes up the post on July 8, 2026. The appointment follows the Honorable Franz Manderson's decision to retire after 44 years in public service, including 14 years as deputy governor. In a message to civil servants today, Governor Owen says McPhee-Livingston brings exceptional experience and a deep commitment to public service. Here's what Ms. Nixon had to say.
What I am most impressed by as I am thinking about what the years ahead will entail is this tremendous honor of serving the people of the Cayman Islands in the position of Deputy Governor, of supporting Her Excellency the Governor and working closely with the Honorable Premier and his cabinet, and working with what I believe to be one of the best civil service organizations in the world.
McPhee-Livingston says she looks forward to working with what she describes as one of the best civil service organizations in the world, praising the chief officers and the men and women who she says give their very best each and every day to make lives better across the islands. She says they are central to her motivation as she steps into the new role.
They are a big part of my why. I've only stepped up to this tremendous role with the confidence that having such an amazing team makes doing what we aspire to possible, which is to make sure that we deliver against the government's priorities and that this is reflected in the lives of our average citizens across this country.
Officials say a structured transition over the coming months will support a smooth handover before McPhee-Livingston formally takes up the role in July, as she prepares to lead a civil service of about 5,000 staff across 14 ministries and portfolios. In other news, Georgetown residents have a new location for the local cops. Radio Cayman's Dion Anglin reports.
The Georgetown Police Station is moving to a new long-term home at 19 Eastern Avenue, formerly One Technology Square or the Floor Building, from Monday, April 13th. All general services, including walk-in reports and electronic monitoring check-ins, along with the community policing, scenes of crime, major events, and victim care units will operate from this new location. The existing station on Elgin Avenue in the old JN Building stays open only until 7 a.m. on the day of the move, and then closes to the public. The phone numbers remain the same. In his statement dated April 9th, Commissioner of Police Kurt Walton says the fully retrofitted site offers easier access, better parking, and will help officers work more effectively with communities to keep the Cayman Islands safe. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
Thank you, Dion. Turning now to the courts, Franklin Raphael Orrett has been sentenced to 46 months imprisonment for robbery and possession of an offensive weapon. Radio Cayman's Jeffy Ebanks reports.
Following a judgment delivered on the 17th of February, Justice the Honorable Cheryl Richards KC, head of the Criminal Division of Grand Court, sentenced Mr. Orrett in relation to the robbery of a small convenience store in West Bay in June 2025. The court heard that on the 15th of June, Orrett entered the store armed with a metal bar or pipe and threatened the owner, demanding cash. The owner handed over approximately $170 from the till. The Crown argued that Orrett used or attempted to use fear of immediate force to commit the offense. Robbery carries a maximum penalty of life imprisonment in the Cayman Islands, while possession of an offensive weapon carries a maximum of 4 years and a fine of up to $4,000. Art was convicted following a trial on the 18th of September. Evidence presented showed that he fled the scene on foot, pursued by the store owner and two bystanders. During the chase, Art attempted to climb a chain-link fence while holding the metal bar and cash pan. He dropped the pan and lost a shoe in the process. DNA recovered from the shoe identified him as the offender, with experts stating the statistical likelihood of the DNA belonging to Art was 38 septillion to 1. A septillion is a 1 followed by 24 zeros. The court heard that Orit, aged 29, has 21 previous convictions, mostly for dishonesty-related offenses and drug offenses, though none for robbery. A social inquiry report noted a history of negative peer influence from a young age, early state intervention for burglary and drug offenses, and the loss of numerous friends to gun violence and traffic accidents. The report assessed him at being a very high risk of reoffending, displaying a, quote, very high pro-criminal attitude. All 8 criminogenic factors were met in the Department of Community Rehabilitation's assessment. The report recommended inpatient forensic treatment, though none is currently available on island, and suggested imprisonment as a part of his rehabilitation. Justice Richards, after submissions from Senior Crown Counsel Scott Wainwright for the DPP's office and Defense Counsel Stacey Ann Kelly for Mr. Orrit, outlined the sentence as follows. The seriousness of the robbery placed it well above the custody threshold, with a starting point of 5 years. Aggravating factors included Orrit's attempt to conceal his identity, adding 1 month, and his criminal history, adding 3 months, bringing the total to 64 months behind bars. Mitigation for mental health concern and drug dependency reduced the robbery sentence by 18 months, resulting in 46 months. For possession of an offensive weapon, the starting point of 2 years and 4 months was reduced by 6 months, totaling 22 months. The second sentence will run concurrently to the first, leaving a total of 46 months, minus time already served behind bars. Jevy Ebanks, Radio Cayman News.
Thank you, Jevy. Now over in health. Optimal Healthcare in Georgetown has launched Primary Care Unlimited, a membership-based primary care program that it says gives residents open-ended access to GP-led healthcare for less than $2 per day. In a release this week, the company says members pay a fixed monthly fee starting at $60 for unlimited primary care consultations free at the point of care. Andrew Vincent, founder of Optimal Healthcare.
The problem is also structural for us in that our insurance coverage prioritizes sickness and acute care over what we need to do to improve health and keep people healthy.
Vincent says basic plans can quickly use up what little primary care coverage they offer. He says a year's allowance can be exhausted in a single GP visit, with a couple of lab tests leaving almost no support for wellness, screening, or primary prevention.
So this then translates into our disease burden, much of which is preventable and influenceable, but only if the population has access to primary care at scale without really worrying about the cost of the next appointment.
Optimal Healthcare says Primary Care Unlimited is designed to address that gap with unlimited GP consultations, a comprehensive annual medical that goes beyond a standard checkup, and concierge-level care coordination. According to the company, the program operates alongside existing health insurance, with claims submitted on the member's behalf and any copay taken from the membership fee, so there is no payment at the clinic. Primary Care Unlimited is available now, and signups are online at optimal.ky/PCU. Finally, the Department of Agriculture is introducing a new drop-in plant clinic so home gardeners can finally get clear answers about what is going wrong with their plants. Radio Cayman's April Cummings reports.
For a lot of backyard growers, the problem's not enthusiasm, it's diagnosis. When a plant starts to fail, many of us try to guess at the cause, buy a bunch of products, and still see no improvement.
If you have a correct diagnosis, then you'd be able to solve the problem. But many times we think that is the problem. We go to an untrained salesperson and ask them, what can you recommend? And they recommend the wrong thing. And you keep saying, I'm applying this and I'm doing that, and the plant's not getting better. But you may not be doing the correct thing.
Plant Protection Officer with the Department of Agriculture, Nelson LaVille, says the new clinic is meant to give people access to trained eyes instead.
Plants don't speak. It's really being able to solve the puzzle. And that's why we are asking people to bring the samples in. If you're unable to bring the plant sample, a nice sharp photo of the part of the plant that you feel that is not normal, take it to us. Let's have a sit down. We'll have a lovely tent there with sitting areas for some people. And now let's have a conversation about the plant.
The clinics are planned for once a month for the rest of the year on the front lawn at the Department of Agriculture. Holding the clinics on Saturday mornings is designed to catch people who can't get there during the work week.
There are many people on the Cayman Islands who grow things. They grow flowers, they grow vegetables, etc. And most people do not know that the Department of Agriculture actually provides the service of diagnosing your plant diseases if they are sick, or if they are nutrient deficient, or if whatever maintenance that is required. We do offer that service. We're trying to make it accessible and convenient for the public.
And this plant doctor also wants backyard farmers and small growers to know the clinic is for them, not just the larger farms that the department already visits.
The backyard farmers, we don't have, you know, free access or liberal access to their properties to do those kinds of work. And so they are the ones who are interested in growing the stuff, you know, food security and all of that. And they feel that they're doing a terrible job. And most times it's not because they don't have the zeal to do it. They don't have they just are not equipped. And we are trying now to help, to reach out and help them to do the correct thing so they can be happy and joyful once they see the plant flourish, so your periwinkle will not die again.
Now, there are a few rules. Samples should be sealed so pests aren't spread on the way in, and dead rotten plants won't help anyone work out what's wrong.
We are asking persons that when they're collecting the samples, ensure they have a properly sealed bag to put the samples in. If it's an insect or a snail, etc., that you want some advice on, a jar could help. If it's a leaf or roots, etc., put them into a bag. I would recommend something like the Ziploc bag. Do not bring any plants that are rotten and already dead. Bring in plants that are still alive, or the parts of the plants that are still alive, and they can be diagnosed and you can be given recommendations.
They will ask a few questions, help you figure out what's wrong, and then because the warehouse will be open at the same time, you have the chance to get supplies you might already need. Most importantly, there's a chance you may be able to save that dying plant. April Cummings, Radio Cayman News, reporting from Lower Valley.
Thank you, April. That's it for your news. I'm Elizabeth Charles. Have a great evening.